Welcome to the Karate Shrimp Podcast. I'm your host, Sabrina Bleem. Join me in exploring all the ways we can perform better in life and martial arts. If you want to perform your best in life and martial arts, building good eating habits and a healthy diet are key. But there's so much information out there. It can be hard to know where to start. Turns out nutrition doesn't have to be complicated. And in fact, what I'm going to teach you today makes it really, really simple and will help you build some foundational skills that will help you improve your diet and your eating habits today. So let's get into this. The information that I'm going to tell you today, it comes from a course that I have in healthy eating. In that course, I talk about 10 steps to help you improve your diet and your eating habits. I'll have a link in the description below. What I'm going to talk about today in this episode will be a really good start for you. Hopefully that's enough to help you improve your diet and your eating habits. But if you want to go a little bit deeper, by all means, check out that course. So first off, this is not a diet, and diet meaning a quick fix to achieve a certain result, usually weight loss. Quick fixes do not work. Okay, they do not work. They're not sustainable. What we're focusing on now is actions that are realistic and that you can sustain over the long term. So many people focus on getting fit for the summer or losing weight for a wedding. And it's that short-term thing, but that is not sustainable by nature. You cannot sustain and maintain those behaviors over the long term. The point of it is to achieve that result quickly. And because it's a quick process, which your body does not like, those rapid changes, you end up rebounding and you go back to your old habits. More important for me, and I think should be for you if it isn't already, is being fit, healthy, strong for life. You know, having a good diet every day, eating well every day, feeling good now, not a crash diet that's going to help you drop pounds for a wedding or whatever, and then you gain it all back and you feel miserable about yourself. That's not what we're going for here. This is also not about food math. I don't encourage a lot of that. For some people, food math, like counting calories, you know, measuring your portions, weighing your food, tracking, that works really well. And if that's you, if it's working really well, keep doing it. My philosophy is if something's working, keep doing it. If it's not, change it. So for me, it doesn't work. I don't like it. And it kind of brings me back to disordered eating days when I would focus on all of the math, you know, around my eating, and it just didn't feel comfortable and intuitive. But if it's working for you, keep doing it. Now, for some people, like bodybuilders or elite athletes, tracking their food and counting calories, that's really important, actually, in helping them get an edge against the competition. Those behaviors, though, aren't necessarily something they're going to engage in year-round. It might be a seasonal thing. You know, they're training for a competition, and maybe they're cutting or whatever. And so they're focusing on, you know, all the math around their eating. But for most of us, we don't need to do that. We don't need to count calories or weigh our food or any of that in order to improve our diet and improve our eating habits. So this is also not just me dumping information on you. Information is great. I love research. I love buying books and reading books and learning stuff online. I love consuming information. But all of that stuff doesn't help us if we don't get off our butt and take action. Right? Like I have self-help books galore on my shelves. I read them. I feel really good about myself. I put it back on the shelf and I do nothing with it. That doesn't help me. So I don't want to dump a whole bunch of information on you about vitamins and minerals and all of that stuff that is just going to end up becoming a form of procrastination. And I think that's what happens. Too much information, it stops us from taking action. I'd rather tell you what you need to know. And you don't need to know all the fussy little details about nutrition in order to improve your diet and your health. You don't. So if you want to learn all that stuff in your own time, go online, do your research for sure. But you don't have to become an expert in nutrition or a mathematician or a scientist or any of that in order to improve your eating habits. You just don't. What I encourage you to do through this process, and this works for if you're wanting to improve your diet, I think this is good for martial arts training and all of that, but create what's called an owner's manual for yourself. Get a notebook or a journal. You can use an app on your phone or a Word document and keep track of your observations. So you're kind of playing scientist here. and you're making observations, and then you can look it over later and say, okay, well, this worked really well, or this didn't work really well. And it helps you get out of your head a little bit and take a more objective approach to your results. So, and it gives you valuable evidence too. Like maybe some foods don't sit well with you. Maybe some, you know, the things that you think you like aren't the things that actually feel good in your body. When you write it all down like that, it can help you figure out patterns and you know what actually works for you and what doesn't. So an owner's manual is a really good thing to do. So first question I'm going to ask you to think about is, what foods do you actually enjoy eating? And this might surprise you, because a lot of diets focus on what you should be eating, or they imply that there's certain foods you should be eating, and they don't ask you what you actually like eating. You know, everyone's different. Everyone has a different body, different ethnic background, different budget, different food preferences, different fitness level, different lifestyle. And so one diet is not suitable for everyone. There is no one size fits all when it comes to the ideal diet. So your diet that's ideal for you might be totally different than what's ideal for me. So that's something to consider too. We're not putting everyone in the same box here, okay? One size does not fit all. So what do you like? How do you like eating? You know, do you like a lot of protein? Do you like a lot of carbs? Do you like a lot of fat? Don't worry about what other people are doing or what other people say is appropriate, you know, for everybody. You know, not everyone should be doing keto. Not everyone should be doing, you know, high fat or low fat. Or like for me, I've experimented in the past with doing really low fat diets. I don't like it. It does not work for me. Some people out there, they live really long, healthy lives eating a very low fat diet. I don't like it. I don't feel good. My skin feels really dry. I feel kind of hungry all the time and unsatisfied with my meals. So it doesn't work. I like fat in my diet, okay? But then the types of fat that I eat, they might be different from what other people eat. Like I like a lot of plant oils and seeds and nuts and avocados. I like a bit of animal fats too, but it doesn't feel as good in my body as, you know, the plant oils and then fish, that kind of thing. So it really depends on the person, you know, and it's taken for me a lot of experimentation and really paying attention to what works and what doesn't for me. Low fat doesn't work for me. Super low carb does not work for me. Super high carb doesn't work for me either. But it took playing around with it and playing detective a little bit, playing scientist, to figure out what my best diet is for me. Basics here. What is a good diet? And we're not going to talk about best, because as I've indicated, there is no best diet for everyone all the time. But a good diet does include certain key properties. So here are the key features of a good diet. So it controls energy balance, not too much, not too little. So it allows you to maintain your weight without too much fuss. It provides enough nutrients. So macronutrients like protein, fat, carbs, fiber, micronutrients, vitamins and minerals. It gives you enough of everything. It helps you look and feel great and perform your best, okay? And, you know, whether that's in just day-to-day functioning or while you're training in martial arts or other sports. It's not a crash diet. It's not a quick fix. It's not a weight loss diet that, you know, is going to end up in a rebound and you gain the weight back. This is something that's sustainable that you can do over the long term. This is eating for life rather than eating for your beach bod this summer. It also encourages awareness of your food choices and how those foods feel in your body. And it helps you become more aware of your hunger and fullness cues. Rather than eat this certain amount, you know, whether you're still hungry or super stuffed after or not, it's, well, how hungry am I and how full am I and is that satisfying? So focus is much more on that. And finally, it fits with regular movement. It fits with your training. So when you eat better, you feel better, and then you tend to become more active as a result of that. You feel good and you want to be more active and healthier. And when you're more active, you become, you know, you focus a little bit more on what you can eat in order to perform better. And so they work hand in hand, the fitness and the diet, they work together. So this is good nutrition. And what we're focusing on now is good nutrition for you. So what is best for you? So one thing I want to encourage you to stop doing if you're doing this is to stop this binary thinking of good versus bad food. We love to do this and it's a cultural thing. Some foods are good, some are bad, you know, and there's this guilt around our eating. And I think guilt, for me, when I feel guilty about what I'm eating, I tend to eat more of the stuff that makes me feel guilty. I think, well, I shouldn't have eaten that ah, well, screw it. I may as well eat more, right? And that's what happens. Or it's like, you know, if someone tells you you shouldn't eat something, what are you going to focus on? That one thing, right? If someone says cake is bad, well, now I want cake because they told me it was bad. But now I feel guilty because I ate the cake. But because I feel guilty now, I think, well, what the heck? I've already screwed up. I may as well eat more cake. So guilt and good and bad and all of those labels, it doesn't help us at all. So what I encourage you to do is to think of foods as lying on a continuum. And at one end of the continuum, there are foods that have more nutritional value. So they have more nutrients, you know, more fiber, that kind of thing. And at the other end, there are foods that have less nutritional value. So empty calories. So more nutritional value would be whole fruits, whole vegetables, whole grains, you know, lean sources of protein, healthy fats, that kind of thing, lots of fiber. At the other end are things like chips, pop, candy, things that have, you know, sugar or fat or salt, but not much else, okay? And then there's all the stuff in the middle. So foods can fall anywhere along that continuum. And the goal isn't to live at one end of the continuum all the time. If you can do that, by all means, keep doing it. That's awesome. I can't. I like these foods over here. The you know, less healthy stuff. That stuff is fun to eat. But I don't eat a lot of it because it doesn't feel good in my body. Okay. But feel free to experiment and you know, live along the entire continuum without guilt. Without guilt, okay? But what I do encourage you to do is to try to get a little bit better every day and, you know, move a little bit along that continuum towards the more nutritious side, because that is going to give you everything you need in your diet and for your health. But, you know, you don't have to give up the fun stuff. You don't have to give up the play food at all. That can be part of a healthy diet as well, okay? But over time, see if you can move a little bit along that continuum towards just a little bit better. What we're focusing on here is core habits. These are core foundational skills. And just like with martial arts, you know, your basics. Your basics are the foundation of your practice. You learn your basic punches and blocks and kicks, and that informs everything else you do, right? And if you're struggling with the more advanced stuff, go back to the basics. So that's what we're doing here, is building a strong foundation that you can build upon. And then if you want to get fancier, if you want to start tracking, if you want to get fussier with your diet, that's totally fine. But when you have this strong foundation in place, you know, you'll have much better success adding all of that other advanced stuff on top. So one last thing, you do not have to be 100% consistent all the time. You don't have to be. You don't have to eat a certain way all the time in order to get results. You can have, you know, let's say you eat 4 meals a day, you don't have to have all 4 meals be perfect. You can have 3 out of 4 where you're eating really well, and then 1 where you just kind of relax a bit. And that's totally fine. You can still achieve your goals, whatever they may be, of performing better, of feeling better in your body, of improving your weight, your body composition. You can still achieve those goals even with 3 out of 4 meals a day, right? So let's say you eat a certain way 6 days a week, and then 1 day you have off. And I'm not encouraging cheat days, because I think cheat days tie in with this whole guilt mentality around eating, where you think, oh, I shouldn't have these foods, but now is my cheat day. So I think rather, you know, maybe 1 day you just relax a little bit. You don't focus on it so much. You know, you can take a day where you just relax a little bit. Maybe it's a really social day for you and you don't have as much control over what you're going to be eating that day. Maybe people will be buying you food, or you'll be at parties or whatever. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It doesn't mean, you know, you should binge. I don't think binging is good for us. You know, oh, this is the day that I'm going to eat all the crap. That's not really good either, because it does feed into that guilt. I think rather a day, 1 day a week, where you just take it easy, you can still achieve your goals. You can still get results if you're doing it 6 out of 7 days a week. That's totally fine. So don't stress about the meals or the days that you don't eat a certain way. Don't stress about it, because you can still get where you want to get. Okay, so now we're going to get into the 4 steps. So the first one, this is, now all of these steps, they're going to sound really, really simple, really basic stuff. And that's because they are, but just because they're simple doesn't mean they're easy. Okay, if they were easy, we would all be doing this all the time. And a lot of us are struggling with this stuff, pretty basic stuff that we're struggling with. So that's why I want to focus on this stuff today. So number one, you need to make time. You need to make time for improving your diet and improving your eating habits. You need to make time for eating. This might sound really funny, you know, you have to make time to eat, but Think about a normal day, a normal week. If you're really busy, if you're really overscheduled, you might have days that you don't make time. You don't schedule in time to eat. And then you find yourself eating while doing something else, eating while you're working at your desk, eating while you're driving home, you know, eating while you're on the run. So making time for eating is a foundational skill that I think we could all improve upon. I know for me, you know, some days, I work from home. And if I fill my day, I might plan my whole day of all the work I need to do, editing and filming and whatnot. But often I find I will be eating at my computer because I didn't schedule in time to eat. I thought about everything else but the eating. And then I'm sitting at my desk like, wait a minute. No, I need to make time for this stuff. I need to make time because food is important, right? Eating, and you know, I love food. Food is wonderful. And we need to make time for this stuff if we're going to make changes in our lives. So I encourage you to look over your schedule, your day-to-day and weekly schedule, and see where you can fit, you can make time, carve out time for anything related to eating. So sitting down to eat, right? Making time for that so you don't feel rushed. Preparing meals, you know, shopping, all of those things, they do take time. So you need to make time for those things. Number two, you've made the time now. Now you need to get off your butt and take action. And back to what I was saying about information, how we love to gather information, but if we don't act on it, it doesn't help us. So you need to take action. Something that you can do to help you if you're struggling with this, and this can be a 5-minute action. So I want you to make a list of 5-minute actions that you can do that are related to eating. And this in itself, you can take 5 minutes, set a timer for 5 minutes, make a list of all the actions you can take. When you're struggling, you can look over the list and say, oh, here's something that I can do right now related to eating. So it could be making a grocery list. It could be finding a new recipe to try. It could be figuring out what you're going to make for dinner and looking in the cupboard to see if you have the food available, right? It could be cutting up fruit and vegetables for an easy snack later on. 5-minute action could be making a smoothie that you can keep in the fridge. Maybe when you come home from work, before you head to the dojo, you're really rushed and you often eat crap food. Maybe you stop at the drive-thru on the way, or you know, you make this quick dinner that's not super healthy, or you find yourself eating chips while you're making dinner. You have that smoothie there. You come home from work, you can drink the smoothie, take a deep breath and go, okay, now I'm not so hungry, now I can make a proper meal. Or you have that smoothie for after your workout when you're too tired to cook, right? So these are all 5-minute actions that you can do. So I encourage you to think about this. Write down some 5-minute actions or, you know, 2 minutes or 1 minute, but things that you can do all around your eating. So 5-minute actions are really great because they help us get off our butt. They help us overcome inertia. And, you know, we often wait for motivation to strike before we take action. We think we need to feel inspired, we need to feel motivated in order to take action, but it's actually the other way around. And if you take action in just a small way, like this, just a small little action, cut up some fruit, you know, and just put it in the fridge for later. And then later when you're snacky, oh, hey, here's some fruit. It's easy, right? But it's just a small thing that you can do that can help you get off your butt. And over time, when you keep doing these little actions, you will build up this momentum and you will start to feel more confident and say, look, this provided a proof to me that I could get off my butt and do this work in order to improve my diet and my eating habits. So now we're on to step 3, which I think is the most important thing. You need to make time and take action. But this one, if you can do this, I think you can probably solve a lot of nutritional problems and a lot of problems with eating behaviors. So this one is to eat slowly and mindfully. So to eat slowly and to pay attention while we're eating. And this might surprise you that, you know, what I'm saying is the number one thing isn't some particular aspect of nutrition, but there's a lot of evidence that how we eat plays a really, really big role in our nutritional status and our health and our weight. So a lot of us, and if you know, if you're like the vast majority of us, our eating experiences tend to be rushed and or while not paying attention. So eating while on the go, you know, going through the fast food drive-through, eating while watching TV, eating at the movies, scrolling our phone, you know, scrolling through social media while eating at our desk at work. So we have a lot of eating experiences that are like this, where we're not paying attention and we're eating quickly, because we haven't made time. We haven't given ourselves time to eat. And we're not paying attention to that eating. you know, when you think about it, like how often do you actually sit down, turn off your phone, turn off the TV, turn off your computer, put all distractions away and just focus on the meal in front of you? If you're like many of us, maybe not that often. Eating quickly, though, it does have consequences and it can result in poor digestion, you know, GI issues, gastrointestinal discomfort. It can result in weight gain. You know, if you're eating quickly, you're not paying attention. It's so easy to eat way more calories than you need. And it can also result in decreased satisfaction with your meals. You don't enjoy it as much. You're not paying attention and you're eating quickly. You're not going to enjoy that meal. And what happens is we eat quickly. It's really easy to ignore the signals from our body that tell us that we're full. So you think of fullness as a finish line. If you're running up to that line, to that finish line, it's so easy to run past it and to cross it. So if you're eating really quickly, it's so easy to eat past that point of fullness without realizing it. And then you're really, really full and you feel uncomfortable and kind of gross, right? But if you eat slowly, if you walk up to that finish line, you eat slowly, it's so much easier to see that finish line and, you know, to reach it without crossing it, right? So eating slowly, it's easier to pay attention to those signals from our body that tell us that we're satisfied, that we've had enough. And when we eat slowly, we actually see some benefits from this. We do feel more satisfied with our meals. We enjoy that meal so much more. When we eat slowly, it's much easier to maintain our weight when we eat slowly. We're not as likely to overeat. And it's much easier to lose weight if that is your goal. You also will feel more in control of your eating, you know, when you slow down. And you'll have better digestion. Your body will be able to process that food so much easier when you slow down. You know, when we slow down like this, we have time and we're able to think clearly and choose, you know, healthier options rather than just grabbing whatever is easy, whatever is convenient, which tends to be high fat, high sugar, high salt, right? So you also might find when you slow down and pay attention that your food preferences might not be what you actually think they are. You might actually enjoy different foods than you think you like. Like there might be times you think, oh, I really need a high fat, you know, greasy meal right now. That's what I'm craving. And when you slow down and pay attention and you eat that meal, you may find that actually this doesn't feel really good in my body. My stomach is kind of churning after. And, you know, like for me, when I eat, if I'm really, really hungry, I want greasy, high fat, high sugar foods, right? And when I eat those though, when I slow down and pay attention, I find, okay, my skin feels really greasy after. I feel really full and uncomfortable. I feel sluggish. I don't have as much energy. You know, sometimes, you know, high fat foods feel really good in my body though. But when we eat quickly and we don't pay attention, it's hard to notice that. It's hard to figure that out. So we slow down and pay attention. We can figure out what we actually like. If you're having trouble with this, here are some things that you can do. Put devices away. Turn off the TV. You know, turn off the computer. Get away from your desk. Sit at the kitchen table if possible. Turn off your phone, okay? If you can set a timer on this, you know, take at least 15 to 20 minutes for that meal. That's how long it takes for your body to send you that signal that you're full. If you eat in, you know, 5 minutes, you know, you only take 5 minutes to eat, it's much easier to overeat, right? You need to give yourself time to get those signals, those feedback signals. You can, you know, chew slowly. Look at your food, taste it, savor it. How does it feel in your mouth? How does it smell? What does it look like? You know, pay attention to it and then swallow it and think, okay, how does that feel in my stomach right now? And think about those things before you go to take your next bite. You can also put your fork down or your spoon down or whatever, utensils down, your chopsticks in between bites, or take a sip of water in between bites to physically slow you down. Once you get used to doing this though and eating this way, you won't have to manipulate yourself like that. You won't need to, okay, I need to set a timer. I need to, you know, put my fork down. Eventually it'll become, you know, with practice, it can become a more intuitive process. But if you're not used to doing this, you know, you can do these things to help you slow down. You can also, if you're eating with other people and one person is a very slow eater, you can match yourself to that slow eater, right? And then, you know, pay attention to what makes you eat faster. You know, is it stressful events? Is it stressful conversations? You know, what things make you eat faster? And pay attention to that. Try this out. Try at your next meal to sit down, put everything away other than your food, and just pay attention to that meal.
Just pay attention. How does it feel? How does it taste? How does it smell? Savor it. And then, you know, if you have that owner's manual, write down your findings after. How did it feel to eat that way? Did you like eating that way? Did it feel better? You know, write that stuff down. So number four, the last step we're going to talk about today is to stop eating when you reach an appropriate fullness level. And this fullness level will depend on your goals. So figure out where your finish line is and then stop there. And when we make time to eat, right, and we take action to practice this stuff, and then we sit down and we slow down and we pay attention, when we do all those things, it's so much easier to stop when we're full. We're taking all that time, we're creating space for that meal, we're paying attention to those signals from our body. It's so much easier to do this step. So that's why it's in this order. So what is your goal, first of all? If you want to lose weight or lose fat, guideline is to stop eating when you're at about 80% full. You feel 80% full, you stop eating, that can help you achieve weight loss. If your goal is to maintain your weight, stop eating when you're at about 90 to 100% full. Okay, this is going to take some practice to figure it out. If your goal is to gain weight or gain mass, you're going to have to eat past the point of fullness. So you'll be eating until you're about 110 to 120% full. So how this feels, if you want to lose weight, eating to 80% full, it feels like you're just barely satisfied. You might even be slightly hungry still, but you're not hungry anymore. You're just like, a little bit, I could eat a little bit more, but I'm okay with stopping. So that's what 80% full feels like. So to maintain your weight, you want to eat till 90 to 100% full. And what this feels like is you're satisfied, but you're not stuffed. And for me, this is what I tend to do, 90 to 100% full. For most meals, it can vary. But what it feels like is, okay, I feel satisfied. I'm not thinking about food anymore. And I don't really feel anything. I don't really feel full or empty or anything. It's just like kind of a nothing feeling for me. That's what it feels like for me. And then if you want to gain weight, you would eat to about 110 to 120% full. And what this feels like is you're slightly uncomfortable, just a little bit. Like, you don't eat till you're puking, but you're just slightly uncomfortably full. And for people who want to gain mass, you know, gain weight, you will need to do this. So a helpful scale for this to help you figure out when to start and when to stop. And again, there's no hard and fast rules with this, but this can be a guideline for you. You can keep track in your owner's manual, by the way. You can try this for a few meals just till you get the hang of it. And write down before the meal, how hungry are you on a scale of 1 to 10? And I'll explain the scale in a minute. And at the end of the meal, how full are you when you finish? So the scale from 1 to 10, 1 is where you're not hungry at all, and 10, you're ravenous, you're starving, okay? So try to start eating at around a 7 or higher, okay? So 7, you're starting to get hungry. 10, you're starving, like can't think straight, want to punch people out, okay? So aim for about a 7 or higher. And what you're going to look for, if you don't know, some people don't know what hungry feels like because they're so used to just eating all the time. So if you don't know, if your stomach's growling, if your stomach feels empty, you might feel lightheaded when you're hungry. You might get a headache. You might get really grumpy. That's me. I get really grumpy when I'm hungry, like really, really hungry. And shaky. I get shaky too. I get really, really shaky when I'm low on carbohydrates. So that's for me. It's going to be a little bit different for everybody. So you get those signals. Don't wait until you're full-blown shaking, angry, lightheaded, passing out. You know, that would be a 10 or more. Aim for about a 7 when you're just starting to feel like a little growling in your stomach, a little bit, yeah, I could eat something now. So that's where you start, okay? And then if you want to stop when you're 80% full for weight loss, stop when you're at about your fullness level is at about a 2 or a 3 on that scale. So 1 is where you're not at all hungry, and 2 or 3 is like you're just satisfied. If you want to gain weight, you would go for a lower number on that scale. You would go for, like, let's say a 1 on that scale. If you're wanting to maintain your weight, you could aim for a 1 or a 2, okay? So when you slow down and eat mindfully, well, you can pay attention. Like, okay, well, how hungry am I right now? You can check in with yourself. Am I at about a 7 or 8? Okay, yeah, well, now I'm going to start eating. And then you pay attention while you're eating that meal. You eat slowly, pay attention, and then you can figure out, okay, yeah, my fullness is at about a 3. Now it's a 2. Okay, I'm going to stop. These steps all work together. So slow down, pay attention, and then you can figure out where that finish line is, and you can stop when you get there. So try this at your next meal. So, you know, one meal, try your slow and mindful eating. And then at another one, you can try this using the hunger scale. How hungry are you when you start that meal? And how full are you when you finish? So, summary of things that you've learned here. Make time. Take action. So 5-minute actions. Figure out some 5-minute actions you can take and do throughout the day. Slow down while eating and pay attention while eating. Okay, and then you're going to start eating at about a 7 out of 10 on that scale and stop at about a 3 or lower, depending on your goals. So these are simple things that you can do, simple, but not necessarily easy. We do need to practice them, that don't require tracking or calorie counting. You know, you can keep track of stuff, keep track of your findings in your owner's manual, but you don't have to obsess about it. You don't have to weigh your food. You don't have to engage in that food math if you don't want to, and if it doesn't work for you, okay? So now in the course that I have, again, there's a link below, I go into all the next steps, which gets into all the macros, the protein, carbs, fat, etc., and I walk you through how to make changes in your diet and how to, you know, incorporate these things in your eating in a way that is sustainable and realistic. So if you're interested in that, you can check out that course. But anyway, so that's some basic stuff, foundational skills that will help you improve your diet and eating habits today. Think about it like karate, like other martial arts. Practice the basics. It really is about the basics. You can build up that foundation. If you build that up, you can do anything.
Thank you for tuning in to the Karate Shrimp podcast. You can also find me on YouTube at The Karate Shrimp, as well as on my blog, www.thekarateshrimp.com. There you can find more resources as well as online courses to help you perform better in life and martial arts. Feel free to share my content with anyone you know who could benefit from it. See you next time.